You're listening to Mornings with Eric and Bridget right here on Moody Radio 89.3. And if you haven't noticed, teens, many young people are struggling and many feel like there's nobody to talk to. Over the past 10 years, actually, we've seen even emergency room visits for mental health issues among Gen Z double, and even suicide-related issues have increased. So how do we reach Gen Z? How do we speak their language? We're going to get some practical tips as we talk with Young Life's Ken Tankersley. Ken, good morning. Thank you so much for joining us.
Good morning, Bridget. Good morning, Brody. Thanks for having me.
Morning, Ken.
Well, we want to jump right in and find out about Young Life. What is the work that you're involved in, and why this season do you want to reach young people for Christ in this way?
Oh, maybe even more important this season than any season in our history as a mission. Young Life's been around since 1941, and our focus has always been on adolescence. You may know this, may even touched on this a little bit earlier, but adolescence, that window of time has stretched in the last several years for us. In 1941, our focus was high school students, that four-year window, and then expanded to junior high because we realized junior high students were dealing with adult issues at such a young age, sixth grade to eighth grade. And then now social scientists would say the adolescence has stretched to maybe 23 or 24 or even beyond that for some of us. So it's about 11-year window. Our focus is to introduce adolescents to Jesus Christ and help them grow in their faith. It's full service in that way. We're an arm of the church in that way. But our heart really is towards disinterested kids, kids who would never darken the doors of a church. And that, as you know, that group has grown, that number has grown over the years, and especially after the pandemic.
Ken, that's like amazing, because here's the deal. Thank you so much for what you're doing as well as with Young Life. I know there's a real serious concern with mental health of kids. Tell us, you know, what have you seen over the last few years?
Well, the pandemic, you're right, Brody, the pandemic probably revealed as much as it caused, maybe. Loneliness, isolation has always been an issue. Adolescent years have always been a challenging time, and that only increased during this last bit of time. So you take some of the issues that we've all seen across the kitchen table or the dining room table. Isolation, the effect of social media. Now, even just in the last couple of weeks, the Surgeon General has reached out and talked about some of the dangers of social media, which is a perceived version of community, but how that can even contribute towards isolation. And then even the need of an adult, whether it be a parent or a non-relative, to invest in the life of a teenager. You've had kids who have gone through hybrid school situations or isolation in their own way, and you've taken a hard season of life, adolescence, and you've made it even more challenging because of what we've all experienced.
And, you know, Ken, as not being a parent, but being an aunt, looking on and seeing so many of this younger generation and seeing the battles and the struggles that they're dealing with, looking on and saying, boy, what can I do? I know there are many like me who say, how can I reach them? How can I encourage them? How can I let them know, you know, their value and their worth in Christ, and help them overcome some of these challenges? So what are some of those tips, whether you're a parent, whether you're a caring adult? How do we reach this generation?
Yeah, it's true. I think some of the same things, Bridget, that we've experienced as adults. It's been challenging to have civil discourse currently in the last few years. Well, that's been an effect that we've felt, but it's also what we're seeing in our kids or our nieces and nephews in your context. So, you know, it's funny. Jesus asked in the Gospels, I think by my addition, about 307 questions in the Gospels. He gave about 8 answers. I've had to make a pivot in the last couple of years. I love to give answers. I love to be asked for advice, but I'm asking more questions now. I'm listening better now. So a pro tip, if you will, is to listen, to be present. I have 3 daughters. I have to be available and aware, because they don't always want to talk when I want to talk. That's an obvious parenting acknowledgement. But when they're ready, I need to be ready. And I need to learn from them, listen to them, and ask good questions.
Look for those moments.
Look for those moments, exactly.
So listen and being present to listen. How else? What are some other tips?
Yeah, I think we can also understand that things have changed culturally. And maybe take the posture of a learner in that situation too. Their view of faith is different. Depending on who you read or what information you gather, about 85% of teenagers understand or acknowledge or believe that there's a God, however they would describe that. And even in this anxious kind of setting, we've seen for Gen Z, for that 15-year window, we've seen even a progression downwardly from the age of 15, where someone might believe in the Christian faith, maybe 20% or so. But then by the age of 19, that has dropped down to 10% or even less than that. Mm. So to have a caring adult there as they're trying to navigate some of the bigger questions in life. And this is probably the most self-aware and emotionally aware generation we've had in our history, in the five generations that we deal with day to day. So this group is not afraid to feel, and they're not afraid to share. And where a believer would be hopeful is we know that they actually have some of the biggest questions in life. Is God there? Does God care? And what do I do with that? So I'm hopeful. I think this is a more in-tune generation than we've ever had before, certainly in my experience.
That's such an interesting point, Ken, because I think sometimes this generation gets slack, right? They're called maybe snowflakes or you're being too sensitive.
Sure.
But that's really a criticism of what you're putting the positive side of that. And they're really in tuned with how they're feeling, with their emotions, and they're not afraid to speak up about it.
Oh, Bridget, you're so right on there. I had a friend say to me, he goes, 30 or 40 years ago, the questions that we're asking as a culture are not the questions that we're asking now. So I took the bait and I asked him, I said, what were we asking decades ago? And he said, believers were asking, or non-believers were asking, is Christianity true? And that birthed classic Christian apologetics, evidence that demands a verdict, things that are still true today. He goes, but this generation is asking different questions. So I asked him that. Well, tell me what the change has been. He goes, now non-believers are asking, is Christianity good? That they're seeing, even though we might win the argument, so to speak, of truth, they're trying to see the evidence in a transformed life. And that's the people that are with them and interacting with them every day. And that may be, in my context, a Young Life volunteer leader or an aunt or an uncle or a parent or a coach or a teacher. So the opportunity for the believing community to support an adolescent now maybe has never been as rich and good.
Mm. Hey, Ken, what advice would you give to a lot of our listeners who are parents and who want to learn how to communicate with their kids but don't know how to speak their language? You know, what advice would you give them?
Yeah, Brody, probably one word. I mean, teenagers change, as you know, about every 3 weeks. They change fashions and trends mm-hmm. and musical tastes and all those things change. But also in the same breath, they're the same today as they've ever been. So some of the same things still work. A loving, caring adult, presence. These are all biblical principles that we would all take the time, even for someone who's a family member, to earn the right to be heard. You know, they are going through a very difficult time, and it's only been more challenging in the last couple of years. So going to them, being present with them, and then I think truly to live a life of faith that is compelling, to put our own lives on display. We've all experienced some of the challenges of the last several years in our own context, but there's a great deal that we can learn from one another.
We are speaking with Ken Tinkersley today of Young Life. And I'm going back to the comment you made, Ken, when you said one of your first tips is to listen and be present. And just what you said there, there are things that actually our teens can teach us. Talk to me about that.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're living in a different world than we did. 8 out of 10 teenagers today have experienced some form of trauma, a sense of helplessness or terror or distress that takes not just days to get over, but weeks, months, and years. That's interesting. They spend about 7 hours a day on screens of different types, and that's outside of a work context or a school context. Truth and morality has changed over time. It tends to be a little bit more subjective. About a quarter of them express a feeling of deep loneliness. So there's a lot that they've gone through. They're subject matter experts in this area. So there's a lot that they can teach us. And they are the ones that are knee deep in the culture. So what they're experiencing, just like a parent would always express, it is absolutely new to us. So again, to go back to ask good questions, listen, express empathy, and take the posture of a learner.
Right. And I think important part of that is not to judge. Or at least show we're not judging, but listening to what their world is like, what they're saying. You know, I know a lot of with social media, there's these algorithms that are trying to dictate to our kids how they should think. And as parents, I think it's important we're careful not to judge them, because then they're just going to shut us off. Mm-hmm. But to listen and help us understand a little more.
Yeah, and the role of a parent is to be a mentor, a guide, or help navigate kind of these waters. So there are things that we offer too. And Brody, you're saying this. I mean, I think we have to find the role that we can serve in, but I think also this is uncharted territory in some ways, certainly for an adolescent, and Jesus modeled this so beautifully in the Gospels. I mean, again, 307 questions versus 8 answers. I think we can do less talking, more listening, and more active listening, maybe specifically.
Mm. Such a great insight, such a great point. But Brody, I know you wanted to ask kind of that final question for us.
I do have a question for you, and it goes back to the Jesus Revolution movie that just came out, and how one pastor was willing to change his outlook on a generation of teenagers. Mm. So how as parents, you know, what ways can teens help us see there's hope in the future in their world?
Yeah, I think it's interesting that even when you look at some of the statistical evidence around them, they're hopeful for the future. They want to make a difference. They have a social awareness and a global awareness that we didn't necessarily grow up with. So they are a force for change. And I think even some of the areas of passion, of interest, even some of their awareness on social issues or disparity in all things in the culture, that's been an awakening element where they can actually teach us, and the gospel works its way right in the middle of that. So I think, again, to learn from them, to listen to them, and then to partner with them.
And one way you can do that is by finding out some of the resources Young Life has to offer. We have a link directly to them when you head to ericandbridget.org. Ken Terkesley, who is their Senior Vice President of Community Networks, has been with us. Ken, thank you so much for your insight today. So much wisdom in what you shared. I think it'll make a difference in how we approach this generation. Thank you so much for your time.
I'm grateful to be on the call. Thanks for having me.